All right, we're going to start at the top of page Ahmed Aleph. Yesterday we were discussing what are the possibilities of explaining the husband's situation with regard to the nether that his wife took. When she says, does that include her husband or does that exclude her husband? So both Ula and Rav Nachman said that it does not include her husband. And the reason that he's allowed to be made for the nether, right, one, according to Ula, that's a separate case, va'od, that he can't be made for. Not only he can't be made for because it's not included, but also because she can collect like a chikhon peya. Rav Nachman said, no, that it does not include the husband, and why can he be made for it? Because he cannot be made for it because if they divorce, she can still get enough from like a chikhon peya, even though her husband will then fall into the category of being asur. And Rava said that the husband is within the category of the nether, and the reason she doesn't have to be made fair is because of the fact that she can get hung up from like a chikhon peya. Right, so those are three answers. Now, Eitve Rava, the Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Rava, who says that the Baal is included in the Briot, asks Rav Nachman a question. That's from, Briot too? The Baal's not included in everyone else? Hatznan, this is a Mishnah we keep quoting, Netula Ani Mina Yehudim. If she says, I am removed from the Jewish people, over here a specific nether is that I will not have tashmish with any Jew. The husband can be made for his portion of the nether with Hamisham Shato. Right? And he can have marital relations with his wife. But she will be still asur to any other Jew. Meaning that if she gets divorced, she will not be able to marry anyone. If you say that the husband's not included in the general term of briot, then what's the story here? Netulani min yudim, then the husband should not be included. Why does the husband have to be made for the nether? What's the difference between briot, yehudim? Anytime you use a general term, if it means that the husband's not included, why would the husband be made for the nether here? Right? And if the husband...
Yes, if he's not included in the briot, why would he be included
in the term yehudim? Right, exactly. And then, even if you say he's b'amar b'alav b'chlav briot too, if you say that husband's not included in the term briot, then what's the only reason you could say that he's allowed to be made for the nether? The only reason you could say he could be made for the nether is because Nidre Inu Nefeshain, right? The only way he could be, if he's not included in the nether, then why does he have the right to be made for the nether? Only because it's a Nidre Inu Nefesh. If that's the case, then why is it that it's limited? His hapar is only limited to while he's married to her, number one, and number two, is only limited to himself. That's what we learned about Nidre Inu Nefesh. When you're mafir the nether, you can be mafir the olam forever, and for the entire nether, not just your portion of the nether. So why is it here that we say he can only be made for his portion? And what is his portion anyway? I mean, his portion really almost doesn't exist, because it's beno the veina. So he says, shiny hacha to mucha milsada ha-teraka asra nafsho. Says that there's underlying evidence that she is restricting the husband. Because her nether, when she says that I won't get hana from the priyot, we say that includes everyone except her husband, because that is hana. Hana is something that she can get, or an interaction she has with everybody. Therefore, when she restricts herself in hana, it means everybody but her husband. But if she restricts herself in tashmish, right, the nether has no relevance.
The only place where it's relevant at the moment is for her husband.
Exactly. So that's meaning that without her husband, this nether is just offering something that's already asur to her. So it's not, there's no value in the nether unless you say that it affects her husband. And therefore, even though generally we say when you use terms like Yehudim and Briot, it would not include the husband, in this instance, it does include the husband because there is a compelling reason to believe that she's speaking about her husband. And that is because it's only relevant to her husband.
You know, you could say that it's only relevant to her husband now. If she were to get divorced, then it would be relevant to everybody.
I mean, everybody. Yeah, but that's, we don't think she's taking a nether for when after she gets divorced.
Unless they've been having marital difficulties.
Right. So Yochalal Hanot Beleket Shechlon Peya. Belok Tani, but Maiserani. How come only says Beleket Shechlon Peya and not Maiserani? Ba'atanya b'braisa u'maiserani. And we, in addition to that, we have a braisa in the Tosefta that explicitly says that Maisarani is included, meaning that she can get benefit from, like a Shechapeah or Maisarani. So what's the difference? Am Rabbi Yosef, lo kasho, there's no problem. The difference between our Mishnah and that Baraisa is Ha Rabbi Eliezer, Ha Rabbonon. That's Rabbi Eliezer, and one's the Rabbonon. It's not. Rabbi Eliezer Mer Ein Adam Tzarich Likrot Shem Al Maisarani Shel Demat. Rabbi Eliezer says that if you buy produce from a Hama Aretz, you do not have to, one of the items that you do not need to separate out is Maisa Ani, according to Rabbi Eliezer. But Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim say, Korish Shem, Vein Tzarech LaHafrish. You, which is what we do to Mai, which is that you designate a portion of it to be Maisa Ani, the portion where it is Maisa Ani, but then you don't have to take it off. I mean, you don't have to give it to the Aniyam. You just say, this is Maisarani, and then you can eat it, because you have the problem of Motz Mechavero of Lover Ayo. Therefore, there's an obligation on the parties of the Aniyim to show that there wasn't Maestro's taken off, and then you're really chayiv in Maisarani. But we don't want you to eat it. Okay, my love. So what is the case here? Lamando of Amar Sveiko Tobel. Aren't the one who says that Sveiko is Tobel, meaning makes it Tevel, Kasavar, Isle Tobas Hano, also believes that you have the right to give it. Became the Isle Tobas Hano, Lo Mahanyo. And since you have Tobas Hano, since you have the ability to give away your Meister Ani, therefore she cannot get benefit from it. The woman cannot get benefit because it's as if she is getting direct benefit from her husband when he hands her the Meister Ani, or whoever hands her the Meister Ani, it's as if they're giving her Hano. Whereas, the mandar ain't a courage shame, the one who holds that you don't have to call my sereni, because sever speko ain't a tovel. Now again, speko is a loose term. It happens to be our case, it's a suffix, but in general, we're going to say my sereni is tovel or not tovel. I'll explain it in a second. Call speko ain't a tovel, lace la tovel, sign of a shard le le tenu ye. There it's mutter to be, get heard off from it. So what does this mean, tovel or not tovel? That, what is tevel? Tevel is produce that does not have trumos and maestros removed from it. Which trumos and which maestros make it into tevel? And so we're used to assuming that anything that you need to be makrish from the produce, if you're not makrish it, leaves whatever's behind it, it's called tevel. It'll be tevel the maestro ani, tevel the maestro sheni. You have tevel at different stages, right? But that's, whatever it is left over is tevel. So the Gemara suggestion, this is what Rabbi Yosef is suggesting, the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim here, is what is the status of produce that does not have Maaser Ani removed from it. Is it Tevel or is it not Tevel? So Rabbi Eliezer, according to at this point in the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer believes that if Maaser Ani is still in the produce, it's not Tevel. And therefore, when you buy from an Alma Aretz, you don't even have to be Makrish, the Maaser Ani, because what you have left over is not Tevel. So we don't worry about you eating it. Whereas the Chachamim say no, that even though you may not have to give the Maaser Ani, but the fact there is Maaser Ani in there makes it into Tevel. Since it's Tevel, right, since it's Tevel, you have to be Koreshein, and then afterwards you can eat it. What's the difference if it makes it Tevel or not? That the Gemara seems to indicate here. It doesn't give a reason for it, but the Gemara at this point says that if it's Tevel, then you have the right to give it away. If it's not Tevel, you don't have the right to give it away. So, alright, great, but what does that do? That changes the ability for her to get benefit from Maaser Ani. If you have the rights to give away the Maaser Ani, then you have some sort of form of ownership here. That ownership is the benefit or the ability to designate this Maaser Ani to whomever you want. Therefore, if you give it to her, you're giving her Hano. Whereas if you don't have any rights in the Tevel, or in, actually, it's not Tevel anymore, then since you don't have rights to give away the Maaser Ani, if she comes or she takes it or you give it to her, that's not a direct benefit for her.
I mean, if she's willing or not, she
could to get Maaser Ani.
But even according to the Chacham over here, we have to do is Bikurei Shem, and then you don't have to give it.
Right. That's in our case. That's specifically in our case where it's a suffix, but they believe that it's Tobel in any case, even in a Vada case.
It's not a suffix, you know for sure that it's.
Right. I mentioned that when the suffix is just because this is the case at hand, but what they mean is, in general, so does Maaser Ani affect the Tevel?
Truly, you know, Maaser, you know, Maaser Levi, Maaser Rishon, you know that, and you know for sure that you're not yet taken off Maaser Ani.
Right.
So, of course, he's saying some them are going to Rabbi Eliezer. That's not, it's not Tevel.
Right.
You may have an obligation to get my sorry, but there's nothing preventing you from eating it that produce, and therefore there's no, you're not considered to have bailus in the sense of if you give my sister honey to someone, she's getting benefit from it.
Right, exactly. Now the question is why? In that the there's no logic to say why it is or isn't tevel. Why does that have anything to do with your ability to give it away? I mean, like you just, said it.
If you're giving it away, you're giving it away.
Exactly. I mean, you just said it. Even though there's no tevel when it's my sarni, you still have an obligation to take it off, and probably to give it. So why isn't there? So what's the connection between them? There, let's look in the Ron for this. All right. So now, if you look in the Ron across, it's actually across from where we are in the Gemara. It says the Ron says kasavar sveiko eno tevel.
Right.
So first of all, this is what we just said. Who has in levadai? Right. This din that we're seeing here is not about a suffix, even in a case of vadai. Shum to sveiki naktina and nakat sveiko. Because our case in this situation happens to be a case of suffix. They mentioned the word suffix. Given sveiko eno tevel kasavar leis betovas enough. Now the Ron says betovas hana betovel beino tevel talia. It's always a no. It has to do whether it's tevel or not tevel. Dichtiv. Why is that? Because the pasuk says, "V'lo yichalu et kodshei b'nei Yisrael asher yirimu." They will not be mechalel the kodshim of b'nei Yisrael asher yirimu. But darshina to ba'atidim litrol makaduk mitaver. Pasuk's talking about things that in the future will be taken off. Meaning that when they're not taken off, they are tevel. Omechtiv lo yichalel mashma de tovel. That from the fact that it says do not be mechalel, sounds like what? That it is tevel as long as these items are not removed from it. V'hani d'tavli tala aramatam babalim. And what does it say? It says v'yo yachalu et kodshei b'nei Yisrael asher yarimu. So in the pasuk that describes to you about tevel, it says the word yarimu that the Baal is right to give it away. So there is a connection in the pasuk. The pasuk has a correlation between that which is tevel, that which makes tevel, and that which you as an owner have the right to give away. It's as if it's written that you are entitled to give it away. So therefore the Ron says, that is the reason why there's a connection between having tevel and tovasana, the ability to give it away. Alright, seems simple enough. The only problem is, why? I mean, still.
Doesn't answer the question.
Right, exactly. He said he gave you the source for why it is so, but it doesn't give any logic to why it is so. You skip down in the Ron, in the narrow lines, all the way down in the narrow lines, it's 2-4-4 from the bottom of the narrow lines. It says, Kach Pershu Rabotai. Mm-hmm. It says, Kach Pershu Rabotai, this is what my Rabbanim explained, V'lo Pershu Depligta Tova Eno Tova V'mai Talia. Don't explain what's the whole machlokas here in general. Why is there a machlokas here? So as people try to hard to explain it and stuff it in, this is what I think. Demand the spirale eno tovel, the one who holds that it's not mitavel einu taima. Mishum the spirale, because he says efshar sheakri atzmo chamur minamaserani hamurabo. Right, how could it be that the tevel will be more stringent than the maaserani itself? You'll tell me maaserani to yishmo before more than maaserani. If you are mafresh maaserani and then eat it, is there any restriction on eating it? Aside from gezel aniyim, is there any restriction on eating it? No. There's no malchus. There's no punishment for eating maaserani. That's why we today, if we're mafresh maaserani from demai, we eat the maaserani because. Therefore, there's no gezel aspect to it. Since there's no gezel aspect to it, there's also no isra aspect to it. So how could it be, it would be a strange case, and this is what Rabbi Lezer is saying, how could it be that maaserani itself, there is no restriction on it? Yet, if you have produce that has maaserani that was not mufresh from it, you'd be chayu misa b'dei shamayim, because it's tevel. How could it be that something that is tevel to maaserani is more stringent than maaserani itself? So that's Rabbi Elazar's position.
What about maaser rishon?
Maaser rishon has trumas maaser in it. That's why. So trumas maaser has a few misa b'dei shamayim.
You can be mafresh the trumas maaser, and then
you can't be mafresh it separately. You have to, in order to get the trumas maaser, you must be mafresh maaser rishon. That's the only way you can get the trumas maaser. That's what we do today. we say that this section is my Sarishon, and then I'm taking
it. You the whole limit that if you that if your mafra is true, especially so would that be mafra's
no,
mindset?
No, it's the other way around.
You don't have to give the
if your mafra's my Sarishon.
You don't have to give the my Sarishon.
It's the other way around. If your mafra's my Sarishon before giving Truma Gedola, and then your mafra's Truma Gedola from there, what's the status of that Truma Gedola?
You don't have to give the Truma
Gedola. Well, it depends when you did it, whether you have to give Truma Gedola or not. It's before the Tigun or not. But it's not, you can't, Meiser Rishon, the problem there is you have too much Meiser in it. Truma Gedola has Misa B'day Shemayim, Meiser, right? Meiser Sheni has a restriction of a lot of the generality of outside, Kutz, Lechomos, Yerushalayim. So all of these have restrictions on them that are outside of just the Gezel aspects of them. And so therefore, when they're Teva, when they're still part of the produce, it makes sense that the punishment would be, could be, you know, Misa B'day Shemayim. How could it be here? Meiser Ani, which has no punishment, and yet, if it's not mufrash from the tevel, then it will be considered, right, misamitei shemayim. So that's the logic of Rabbi Elazar. But now this makes the chachamim's position even more, right, what's their position? There's more tenuous. If you look in, so if you skip down, we skip like two, four, about five lines down the one, right above where it says, Yivamos pei vavam and aleph in the Ran, it says, Uman severely. Right, man severely. See that five lines down from where we are. It says you've almost paid Volvo and Aleph right in the middle of the round there. Uman Spirley.
Mm-hmm.
You got it? Yeah. Uman Spirley Tobel, Mafikle Tobel Midrasha. The one, the Chachamim, would say that it is Tevel. They learned that from a drasha. Steve Parafesh Motarot and Yvamot. You'd think that you'd be Chayav on Tevel where nothing was removed from it. Horumi Menu Truma Gedola. If you took off Truma Gedola, lo Rumimenu Maisarisha, Maisarisha, lo Maisarsheni, Vafilo Maisarani, Minayin, Tamalomar, lo Tuchoga, Chob Bisharecha. Says you're not allowed to eat it in your sha'arim. Just like the sharecha in the other location, this limud includes maizrani. You're not allowed to eat it in your sha'arim. So he has a limud min a pasuk that compares sharecha sharecha, and since sharecha is defined somewhere else to include aniim, right, feeding the aniim. Therefore, when it says you're not allowed, so there is an isur lav. There is an isur against eating tevel that does not have maaser rishon removed from it. So that will explain the difference between Rabbi Elazar and the chacham. Right, so the Ran gave us brought from his rebbeim that the reason that there's a connection between giving it away and tevel is because that's a gzeras akasu, that the pasuk brings them together. That which is tevel, right, you're allowed to tarimu. You have the right to give. Tarimu meaning netina, not only to remove, but also to give. So therefore, it has to be tevel in order for you have the right to give or the monetary value of giving. And number two is, why is there a machlokas? What is machlokas nerbulas in the chachamim with regards to whether it is tevel or not? It has to do with how you view maizrani. So it says, since maizrani is innocuous, right, so too, tevel, that tevel for maizrani should be innocuous. But the chachamim say, no, we have a drush from an apostle, that when it's tevel, right, that term, she'arecha, that's used by tevel, or by something that is needs to be mufrash, right, also is defined somewhere else to include maizrani, she'arecha, she'arecha, teaches you that even maizrani makes it into tevel. So now the Gemara says, maizrani
can be in everywhere, though, right?
What?
Maaser
Ani
can be in anywhere.
That's right.
So what is the...
Lotu Chol is talking about the tevel. You don't have to eat it in your...
Yeah, what's the other
That the Aniyim can eat it with you, B'Sharecha. Ani Lagir.
I don't know.
The
Achlu B'Sharecha,
right. That they will join you. The Maaser that you give them, the Maaser Ani that you give to them, they will eat B'Sharecha. That's talking about the something like that. That they will eat it in your possession. They will eat the Maaser Ani. And therefore that Maaser Ani, that She'arecha that defines Maaser Ani is also used in the Lotu Chol Lechol B'She'arecha, right? That you're not allowed to eat in your She'arim. And what is that referring to? It's also referring to Maaser Ani. Okay?
Because it's B'She'arecha, the ships.
Beer Maaser Ani.
You
give it away to them to eat, and then the lotu chal lechol bisharecha is a lav on eating bisharecha. What sharecha? So that thing was divided by the sharecha that we meet in Pashas Amaisros. Amar Le Abaye. So Abaye, back in the Gemara, Amar Le Abaye. Abaye says back to Rabbi Yosef, the kuliyah must make a tovel. Now that's not the way to understand the machlokas of Rabbi Yosef and the Chachamim, that everybody agrees that Maaser Ani causes it to be tevel. Rabbi Lezer Rabbanan b'haikam iflegei. This is what they're arguing about. Rabbi Lezer Sarvar lo nechshedu amei aretz on Maaser Ani. Rabbi Lezer believes that the amei aretz are not chashud on separating out Maaser Ani. So we have this in general by amei aretz, right? There's the principle that was set up with regards to demai, which is that the amei aretz were mafrish truma gedola. There's a sign the chazaka was that they were mafrish truma gedola. One is because it has a chiyuv misa b'dei shemayim, and number two is by truma, any amount is truma, right? Chita achat poter takeri. Even a decree, right? Or okay, even one little old kernel can be matter everything. Meaning that since there is no shiur for truma, even the smallest amount of truma can be poter. So there's no real loss or inconvenience for an amar to be makris truma because it's such a small portion and because it has a stringency of few mitzvah de shemayim. Whereas Maaser Rishon, the likelihood of the Amaretz being Mafresh Maaser Rishon is unlikely because it's 10%, which is a way too big a number, number one. And number two is that they don't realize that within that, Maaser Rishon is also included Trumas Maaser, which has a Chiyuv Misav Deshemayim. So therefore, when we have Demai, we're usually not, we're Mafresh, true Demai, you're only Mafresh Maaser Rishon with Trumas Maaser, Maaser Ani, or Maaser Sheni. Those are the things that you worry about. That's the Truma Gedola. Right? So therefore, that's the, here. So Rabbi Lezer Sarvar, lo nechshu amei aretz al Maaser Ani. Also, Maaser Ani, they're not koshed on. Why? Or they're not chashud on. Why? Kaven to ilu mafkir nechsei, because the Amaretz could be mafkir all his possessions, v'avi ani, and then v'avi ani v'shakalei. Who? Right, so therefore he would take it himself. He doesn't see it as being a loss. To take off the Maaser Ani, he doesn't see it as being a loss because he can always repossess the Maaser Ani by being makir all of his possessions, being an ani and taking it back. So therefore he doesn't see it as being, and therefore it doesn't being a loss to him to be makrish the Maaser Ani, and he therefore will be makrish the Maaser Ani. Abana Savi Nikhsei lo mifgarin chay. People or Inish people will not be makir than a chasin to mirta dilmazaki bu inish akhrina. Somebody else will hear him and they'll take all his possessions. They're not comfortable being makir all their possessions. Therefore he'll got an extra do. Therefore they're the suspect of not being makirish Maaser Ani. So that'll be the makhluk between Rabbi Lezer and Chachamim. Everybody agrees if there is Maaser Ani in this pile or in this produce, still that is tevel. Even Rabbi Lezer agrees to that. Why does Rabbi Lezer not require to be makirish Maaser Ani? Because he believes that the Amei Aretz were already makirish Maaser Ani because it wasn't detrimental. Just like Truma was one little chita, and it was no loss. So it's Maaser Ani, they can separate it and keep it for themselves. Because they'll say, I'm an Ani, I was Makir Ben Echosim, I took it all. It's not a big deal for them just to say, oh, that 10% is Maaser Ani, and they probably did it. But the Chachamim say, no, they are Nechshir, because nobody goes around and Makir all their possessions, because that's a dangerous situation. Right, make them possess them. So you have to be Makir, so Maaser Ani, Misafek, from the produce that you bought from the Amaretz.
So according to the opinion that the Chachamim would say that we are conscious that they didn't separate it. Mm-hmm. So then there's still a samana.
Abaye ruins. Abaye is addressing how Rabbi Yosef explained the machlokas between the Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yosef explained the machlokas.
I understand. We're going back to our original question.
Rabbi Yosef tried to explain the machlokas Rabbi Lezer and Chachamim have to do with whether it's tevel or not tevel. Based on that, he would explain the hotovas anah. Our first question, which is, does Maaser Ani have hotovas anah or not? Once when Abaye comes along and says that's not the explanation for the machlokas Chachamim and Rabbi Lezer, everybody agrees that Maaser Ani is tevel. Then everybody agrees it's Tovas Anah, and that cannot explain the difference between our Mishnah and the Braisa, why one has Maaser Ani and Maaser Ani. So you don't have an explanation. We now do know.
We don't have an explanation.
Right. According to Abaye, there is no explanation, so that's what we have Rava for. Up next is Rava to try to explain the difference between the Braisa. Rava Amar, Rava Omer Kanva Maaser Ani Hamitchalik B'Tocha Bayit. There are different times where Maaser Ani is distributed. There is Maaser Ani that is distributed in the house, the chtiva bein nitzinah, because there it says giving. Benatata la levi la ger li atom li almana. Right there it says benatata, you give. When you give, you have tovas anah. Shemachil also le litnuya. Therefore, she can't get benefit, and that is the Maaser Ani that is referred to in our Mishnah. Maaser Ani referred to in our Mishnah is this Maaser Ani that's distributed in the house. Kan b'Maaser Ani amitzchalek b'tocha granot. Whereas the Maaser Ani that's divided up in the field, and that Maaser Ani that's given away is not given away, but taken. You leave it in your gates, right? Sorry, she could take it, because you don't give it away, you leave it for the aniyim to come and get it. What's the difference? Why is there maizarni that's given away in the house, and why is there maizarni that's out in the field? I mean, what's the difference? All produce goes in the field, right? Why is it? What's the difference between house and field? So let's look in the Quran. Look at the Quran, four lines from the bottom. It's right where the Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the siman for the Rabbi Akiva Eiger, is Hani Hafei Perusho, down at the bottom of the Quran. From the bottom of the Quran, four lines up from the bottom of the Quran, way bottom of the Quran, there's a Gilyan Ashas, right, marking right there, Hakei Perusho, four lines from the bottom, like dead center. What's the difference between Meisar Ani Amitalek Begranot and Mitalek Bebait? Bimotachamana, when it's the summertime, Minicho Begore, you leave it out in the field because the Aniyim can go around. It's not wet out there, it's dry. They can go and get their Meisar Ani from the fields. When the raising season comes, you take it into your house and give it out from the house because it'll get ruined if you leave it out in the field and the rain comes and it rains on that produce. So when is it in the fields? It's in the fields when you first take off Meisar Ani. Meisar Ani is still left in the fields after the summer season is gone. You bring it into the house. Once you bring it into the house, then you have the right to give it away. Tata. The Eastern Mepharshi, those that say Ipchot, it's the opposite way around. Bimotav Meshemim, Bechag Betoch Habayit, Beito. In that you start in the house. That once you take off the Meisar Ani in the beginning, you know, at the end of the rainy season, when it's still raining out, you take off Meisar Ani, that you keep in your house. By no time, you matter, whatever's left over after you've separated out, you must come out. When you get into the summer season, you put it out in the fields. So that which is left over, you put out in the fields. So either way, the difference has to do with whether it's the summer or the winter. In the winter, you have the Meisar Ani in your house, and therefore, benatata, you're able to give it out, and that is a Tovas Hana, that you're allowed to give away the Meisar Ani. Therefore, the woman would not be able to get Hana from that, because that would be a Hana that you are giving her. And that's why Meisar Ani is not mentioned in our Mishnah. Whereas during the summer season, the Meisar Ani is left out in the fields, and the Levi, the Ger, the Atomi, Amana, the ladies who are entitled to Meisar Ani come and take it for themselves. Since they come and take it for themselves, you no longer have a Tovas Hana. You don't have the ability to give it away or the right to give it away. They come and take or help themselves to it. In that case, she can come and take the Meisar Ani because there is no Hana to her. And that is why Meisar Ani is included in our Brisa as one of the items that she could take.
Our Mishnah is saying that it doesn't mention it. Our Mishnah does say like a Chifampea. Okay. And when is that like a Chifampea available in the fields?
In the summertime. Which is it's the same thing. It's a time when they can't get Hana. It's a time when you don't have the right to give it away.
Yes, right.
But Lech Chifampea is different.
Our mission is talking about Lech Chifampea.
In the summer, that's the time you can't. Yeah, that's granos.
It's time that you can't give it away.
Right, which means there's no Tovas Hana. Right. Oh, you mean they
should
get it out?
Should be open.
Right, but Lech Chifampea, they don't have to be in the summertime. It has to be the harvest. It could be in the, whenever you harvest.
Well, we implied earlier that it.
I mean, Lekha Chikampeya never have been attacked to them, because Lekha Chikampeya are
never from the fact that it refers to Lekha Chikampeya, and you said before, like, what's the difference between the Chabani and our Mishnah? Right. Is that, or at least one answer is that the Kazakh Chabani is talking about when Lekha Chikampeya is not available.
Right.
So if our Mishnah is talking about when it is available, that's the time that you're not giving it out, so she should be allowed to take it.
It's only available in Mimotachama. That's a good point. Then it's available in the harvest. Lekha Chikampeya are cut things from the harvest, and the harvest is generally during the...
Not
during Mimotachama. Right. It's an interesting point. I don't have a good answer. It's a good question. Very good question. All right.
Sorry for you, God.
That's right. But that's maybe what compelled, you Rabbi Yossi to go the other way and not use Rabbi's explanation. All right. Kohanim, Levim, Nenim, so it sounds from the Mishnah, it says, if she says in general that Kohanim and Levim can't get any benefit from you, they can come and take against her will the Chumah or Meister that they're entitled to, because she doesn't have a right to take it away from the Shevet as a whole. Whereas if she says, Kohanim Elu or Levim, then other Kohanim and Levim, she can give them to someone else. Therefore, they are restricted, and these Kohanim and Levim are restricted. So Mara wants to know, is Tovat Hana Mamon or not Mamon? This is going to continue all the way into till the Mishnah, the next Mishnah. But do you have the ability, this ability to give out Chumas and Maestros, does that have monetary value? Could you charge for it? Right? Does that have monetary value? And if someone steals it, do you have to pay it back to them? All these types of things. Is there real monetary value to this Tovas Hana? Now the Mishnah says, well, it depends on which part of our Mishnah you look at. If you look at the first part of our Mishnah, Kohanim Levim Nanim Li Yitzlu against her will, Alma Tovas Hana Eino Mamon. Must mean that Tovas Hana does not have monetary value. Therefore, because of the right of the Kohanim Levim to come and take the Trumas and Meister against her will, even though they're restricted in Hana, means that her ability to give it away is not of monetary value, and therefore they can come and take it for themselves. What are you going to do with the second half of Mishnah? Kohanim v'levim elu. I'm sorry, v'levim elu. If you specify the v'levim, nanim li yitzlu achirim, that they cannot take. V'hani lo, but these not. Elma tzvasana mamon. That really is monetary value. Therefore, if they took it, it would be getting hunda from her. So, which is it? Our Mishnah, the inference from our Mishnah is one part of our Mishnah sounds like tovah tzana is not have monetary value, and the other half says it does. Sounds like it does have monetary value. Our Moshe lo kasha harabi v'harab yosi v'rab Yehuda. Our Mishnah has two authors to it. One author is Rabbi, and one is Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya, what is that? Hagonev tiblo shochavero. If you steal your friends, one steals his friends, tevel, but achlo, and eats it. B'shalom lo tamei tiblo, tibbe Rabbi. Rabbi says you replace the tevel that you took. Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, eno b'shalom, elo tamei chulin shibo. You only have to replace the chulin that's in it. I mean that when you eat tevel,
yeah, the others have had no value
to you.
As far as the bottle is concerned.
Right, exactly.
So
the trumos, the maestros, that you eat, when you have tevel, you have chulin mixed with trumos, maestros, all these other things. So when you replace it for the bottle, you just have to replace what his loss was. His loss is only the, around 80% that it is chulin in the tevel. So you only have to pay back 80% of what you stole from him, because the other 20% never really belonged to him. It wasn't his value. So, based on that, what do you see from Rabbi? Rabbi's opinion is that you do not, that Tovas Hana is not Mamon. I mean, that the ability of the owner to give away the Trumos and the Maestros doesn't have monetary value. Otherwise, he should have said, you have to pay him back the Chulin plus the value of the Trumos or the Maestros, because then they give it out. And that's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda says. Omar Eino Mishalem Ela. I'm sorry, I said that backwards. Rabbi says you give back everything because you do have the right to give away the Chumas and the Maestros. There has monetary value, but you have to give back 100%.
Away from you, right.
So you have to give back. Back to you. Whereas Rabbi Yosef, you only have to give the 80% that would have been chulin, you have to return to him. My love, this is what they're arguing about. Rabbi believes Tovas Hana Mamon, that the ability to give it away has monetary value, and therefore when you stole it, you have to give back not only the mechulin but the entire tevel, because you have to give him the value or the right to give it away. Now, it's a good question, do you really have to give him back 100% of what was there, or do you have to give him back the 80% that's chulin plus whatever that, what would be the value of being able to give away Trumas and Maestros to civic coin? It's not the full value of the produce, it's just a token value of being able to give it away. That's why it's called Tovas Hana. It's not clear from here. The way Rebbe says it, you have to give him back the whole teva. But I don't know if that really means you have to literally give him back 100%, because then he can go away and give it away. Or do you say you have to give him back the 80% that's chulin plus some other amount of monetary value which someone would pay? That's what the Gemara calls it in other places. What would somebody pay in order to get it? What would a Kohen pay, or what would a father-in-law pay so that his son-in-law, the Kohen, would get this?
Right, so if you're returning the equivalent value, then you would only have to... You'd have to set a value on Tovas Hana. Because when you have to return to him the ability to give it away,
right, then you have to give him the full amount.
Right.
That is not clear. From Rebbe, it sounds like you have to give him back the whole amount, although that's not really the value that you stole from him. Right? Mm-hmm. That's pointing it out. Rebbe Yehuda says that ability to give it away is not, that Tovas Hana, that benefit does not really have monetary value. that doesn't have monetary value, you didn't steal. You can only steal something that has monetary value. So you didn't steal. The other 20% are not relevant to you because you didn't steal anything that's valuable. And because of that, you only have to return the chulin, which is that 80%, odd 80% that would belong to the Baal. Based on that, you can explain our Mishnah. Who's the author of our Mishnah? Well, the first case in our Mishnah, which says, that sounds like there is no, that Tovah Sana does not have monetary value. That is, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda made that statement. If she restricts all Kohanim and Leviim, the fact that they can come and take anyway, that's Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi says the next line of the Mishnah says, when she restricts certain Kohanim, they are restricted, others can come. Sounds like there is monetary value that these Kohanim and Leviim come and take. That is, Rabbi is the author of that piece of our Mishnah. All right, we'll stop here because the Gemara continues. All right, we'll stop here. We'll do it on Shabbos.
Okay.
All right.